Thank God for a time to worship together. Thank God for His Spirit. Thank God for His presence. And while you're turning, on the back of your bulletin, there is a place to write down any scripture references, notes that you might want to take with you. I hope that you will. Some people are just better, I think, at listening. I'm more of a writer. It helps me to write it down. But you have to, I guess, figure that out for yourselves is what is better for you. And but if it's helpful, we have pens and available, and we have the ink pens and, of course, the back of the bulletin there. Once you find your spot, I'd like to invite you to join me as we make our confession together. And last week, Brother Gary shared a message, look to the Word. Look to the Word. And I don't know if y'all caught this or not. I caught a little bit of the coronation yesterday. And part of that ceremony was that apparently there was a Bible that they brought in and presented to King Charles. And one of the, I guess, ministers asked him, and I might be paraphrasing it a little bit, but he asked him if he would receive this book as the law and commandments, I think is how he worded it, or the gospel. It was the law and the gospel of God. And do you receive it as the most precious gift this world has to offer? I said, wow. I said, Lord, help us all to do to receive it as the most precious gift this world has to offer. And we thank God for the inspiration of His Holy Spirit that gave us His Word. So would you join me as we make this confession here together this morning? Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you, sound great. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 7, Jesus is speaking, and He says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. The message this morning is simply a few words from the lips of Jesus. Seek and you will find. Seek and you will find. Would you say that with me? Seek and you will find. And just maybe as you're writing that down, just so you know, those words, ask, seek, and knock, are actually written in a continuous present tense. And some translations actually word it this way. Keep on asking and you will receive. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened unto you. And just a little simple definition of the word seek simply means to look for and try to obtain. To look or to seek is to look for and try to obtain. So they both can apply. If I'm seeking something, it might be not only that I'm looking for it, I want to get it. I want it, or I want to recover it, I want to find it. So when Jesus says, seek and you will find, He's saying, look for something, try to obtain something, and we'll look at the context here in just a moment, but look for, try to obtain. I think I've learned this in my own life's experience, that whether we look for something negative or something positive, or whether we look for someone to mess up, to fail, to do wrong, or whether we look for someone to do right, we often find what we look for. Jesus said, seek and you will find. Seek and you will find. The context of these words, and context is important, I want to stress this, that always in Scripture, we want to know the context, because not only does that give us the true meaning of the Scripture, but it also keeps us from trying to make the Bible say what we want it to say. Because the Bible in Peter talks about there are some who will twist the word of God, but it says they do so to their own destruction. So let's allow God to say what he says and then receive it that way and not just try to make it fit into our agenda or what we want it to say. So the context here, again, we'll look at a few verses. I'll just tell you real quick. The context of asking, seeking, and knocking is threefold. First of all, avoiding hypocritical judgment of the generosity of God the Father and treating others as we want to be treated. So let's look back at verse 1, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Jesus says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank, the log, in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me remove that speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye?" And that's what makes it hypocritical. Verse 5, "Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Then he says, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs or cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." The judgment, the condemnation we are to avoid is a hypocritical type judgment, because the Bible says we are to judge righteously. In other words, not based on appearance, but by the word of God. We are to be discerning and we're to investigate and seek, but we can't do that effectively. We cannot do that in the right way if we have our own issues that we want to overlook, our own flaws, our own failures, our own weaknesses and sins or whatever it may be, and we just want to focus on what's wrong with someone else. If we look for the speck in someone else's eye, we can probably find it. Seek and you will find. So it's really about our heart's motive. And so the Lord, he says, ask, seek, and knock in the context of we need the Lord's wisdom. We need the Lord's discernment. We need the Lord's power and love to do his will. It's not just ask, seek, and knocking to give me $1 million. It's asking, seeking, and knocking to do God's will. Then he goes on and says in verse 9, we'll pass, he said, ask, seek, not. Then verse 9, the generosity of God, the Bible says, "Or what man is there among you who, if a son asks for bread, he'll give him a stone? Or he asks for fish, he'll give him a serpent?" Verse 11, "If you then, being evil," in other words, we have that natural tendency towards sin, but even with as humans, human parents, even with our tendency towards sin, if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more, would you say that with me? How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? And in Luke, it's a little different context. Jesus is speaking in a different setting. And there he uses similar words and he says, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So we can ask God for good things. We can ask him for his Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and guidance and his love and power in order to live this out. That's the asking, seeking, and knocking that we're to do. And then he says this in verse 12, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." So this morning, I'd like to just really focus on the words of Jesus again. Seek and you will find. And three scriptural ways we should seek. And I'll just tell them to you. We'll look at them one by one. Because again, if asking, seeking, knocking is a lifestyle, then we can develop a lifestyle of seeking what the Lord wants us to seek. And so this morning, just based on, again, the words of Jesus, let's consider this, that we would seek God, we would seek good, and we would seek growth. We would seek God, we would seek good, and we would seek growth. And I'll read you a few verses if you just want to stay right there in the Gospel of Matthew. Let me give you this first one in Jeremiah chapter number 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. And most of you are familiar with this statement of Jesus. He says, "The Son of Man," Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. again to seek and save the lost. Jesus suffered and died on the cross, bearing the judgment of God for our sins. He came back to life 3 days later, and he will save anyone and everyone who comes to him with repentance and faith in their heart. Doesn't matter if we're 4 or 104. And so when we, let me ask it this way. Why did Jesus do what he did for us? Why did he come to seek and save the lost? Why did he go to the cross? Why did he suffer and die as he did? Why would he do that? Out of love, because he loved us. And let me ask you this. If you lost your wallet or your cell phone or maybe your keys, what would you do? You would seek, right? Maybe not because you love your keys, but they're valuable to you. Jesus came to seek and save the lost because he loved us and he valued us. And when we believe the word of God and we receive his love and his forgiveness, then we value him. And it's his love in our heart that leads us to seek God. He's not hiding from us, but he's like a precious jewel that we put forth the effort to find him, to get closer to him, to get to know him, and to grow more like him. So we seek him because we love and value him because he first loved and valued us. We seek God. We seek to know him. How many of you want God's will in your life? We want God's will, so we seek him, and we want God's will for others too, right? Because we know that's what's best. Look at this assurance. We'll put the words on the screen. Jeremiah chapter 29. Many of you are familiar with at least part of this scripture where in verse 11 it says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you a future and a hope. Many of you are familiar with that scripture. It's a popular verse in many settings. But again, I said the context is important. Let's back up one verse. Verse 10 says, thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. God's people were experiencing 70 years of captivity for the consequences of refusing to just listen to him and heed him and be in just willful rebellion generation after generation. And God sent prophet after prophet in mercy saying, come back to me, come back to me, come back to me. And eventually they got to the point where they just suffered the consequences. But even then, God says this, even in captivity, verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. I want to give you a future and a hope. Verse 12, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. The Lord assured them, even in captivity, he said, if you would just seek me, not half-heartedly, if you'll seek me with all your heart, I'll hear your prayers and I'll grant you favor and you'll find me. You just have to seek me. I'm available. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So he's available to us if we're willing to just seek him. Thank God that he is. So the context is, again, seeking God, seeking his will in our lives and then through us to others. And then over in Hebrews chapter 11, a pretty familiar verse of scripture, Hebrews chapter 11. Again, I'll read it to you. Verse 6. In fact, let me, before I read this verse, because this entire chapter of Hebrews chapter 11 is just filled with testimonies of and accounts of those who believe God's word and did what he said. That's important. That's really what faith is. It's believing what God's word tells us and then acting on it, like what he said is true. And so we believe, we do what he says. And when they did that, they overcame obstacles. They defeated giants. They shut the mouths of lions. Some endured hardships and affliction, but they all obtained a good testimony through faith because Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says these words, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Isn't that the key? To diligently seek him. So Jesus again says, seek and you will find. So we seek God, seek good, and seek growth. The second one, seek good. The Bible says this, if you want to write it down, Proverbs chapter number 11 and verse 27. Proverbs 11 and verse 27, the Bible says, he who earnestly seeks good finds what? Finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. So earnestly seek good, find favor, seek evil, find trouble. One translation says, if we seek evil, it'll find you. We don't want that. We want, but I really, this is a powerful statement, that the favor or trouble we experience in life is at least partially and potentially connected to what we're seeking. So what are we looking for? Are we seeking God? And then are we seeking good? I remember years ago, the Vacation Bible School, the children wore this little bracelet called God Sightings, and they still have them, God Sightings, and they try to get them to, get all of us really, to look for God's blessings, look for God's favor, look for little maybe events or circumstances or things that could be God's blessings in your life. I want to be more aware. I want to see God's goodness. I want to look for evidence of his goodness. I want to look for his blessings and then give him thanks. I want to be more grateful. And if we're more aware, if we see more of God's blessings, because we look for more of God's blessings, I believe we'll be more grateful to him. Seek God and then seek good. I don't want to take God's blessings in my life for granted because they can easily vanish. Not that God is not good, but if I'm not appreciative, I will rob myself even. So to seek God and then to seek good, as this verse tells us, and I want to even be better at seeing the good in others too and showing appreciation. Showing appreciation to them for goodness and not just being like the one Jesus spoke of in Matthew 7. I'm going to go around and look at every little speck and every flaw. Now, I don't deny reality. I don't deny sin. But I can tell you, if to go around and be the Christian with the big stick that you have to correct everyone, let's first examine our own hearts and lives, because we can probably find something we need to correct right here before we go in with a pure heart, try to encourage and help and bless someone else in their walk with the Lord. And brothers and sisters, I know there is evil and trouble in the world. There is evil and trouble in our world at times. And it can be easy to dwell on it, I know. But if we do, we will rob ourselves of the joy and peace of God. I want God's joy. I want his peace in my life. And the fact is, the truth is, if we know God, God is good. And if we seek him and we have him, God is with us. He is good. And he is above it all. He's with us, like the song says, through it all. And we'll be together with him forever in paradise after it all. Above it all, through it all, and after all, God is still good. Thank God. Seek and you will find. Seek God. Seek good and then seek growth. We read these words in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, two verses, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. We all want that, don't we? And the love of every one of you abounds toward each other. So how were they growing in faith and love? Verse 4. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. It's the testing of our faith that gives us the opportunity to grow closer to the Lord and to grow more like the Lord as we exercise our faith in God. So we have the challenge, we have the temptation. I know we pray to get out of it soon, and maybe there are some situations where that's fine and it's God's will and it's good to do that. But God knows what we need. And maybe there are some situations, and maybe I'm not saying, Lord knows I'm not saying everything that happens in life is good. I'm just simply saying God is good. And if we have the Lord with us, if I'm in a situation or a trial or problem or circumstance that I really can't just get out of, at least right at that moment, could it be that God is just wanting me to seek Him and to seek His goodness and to grow closer to Him and to grow more like Him? He knows what we need. It's God's will for every one of us to ultimately be conformed to the image of His Son. And when we go through those trials and storms and the heartaches and the disappointments and even just the nuisances and the inconveniences and the things that get on our nerves and they just, I know, but isn't that an opportunity that we could seek to grow? Can God use it by His grace to help us and draw us more closer to Himself, draw us to grow more like Jesus? These brothers and sisters here, they exercise. It says when they were in tribulation and persecution because of their faith grew and their love grew toward one another. So when we believe God's word and we trust Him, then we can grow in faith, we can grow in love, we can grow in just Christ-likeness. That's the real key. Grow in perseverance. It talks about your patience that they endured. Jesus said, if you abide in me, He says, we have to abide in Him. That means stay in close fellowship with Him. His Spirit will produce the fruit of Christ-likeness in us. But we abide in Christ through prayer, through worship, through His Word, through godly fellowship, through serving. Those are ways that we abide. We stay in close fellowship with the Lord. Jesus said this in Matthew 7. Let me, if you're still there, I think it's verse 20. Yes, Matthew 7, 20. Jesus said, therefore, by their fruit you shall know them. He will produce the fruit, but we must do the abiding. We must stay in close fellowship. And maybe it's just me. I hope somebody else gets something out of this, but focus is so important because if the devil can get us distracted, then like Peter, we get our focus onto the storm, fear sets in and we begin to, but we got to keep our focus on the Lord. So that's what I'm saying, seek God, seek good, and seek growth. And if we stay close to the Lord, it's not a secret. We just have to do it because there's always something pulling us away, always something trying to catch our attention, always something trying to catch our affection and draw us away from God so that we're not abiding and we're not producing fruit. But if we will abide, He will produce the fruit. It's not Brother Rocky's fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. But I need His fruit in my life, but He will do it. And by their fruits you shall know them. God is not just doing it so that we can say, look at me. He's doing it so that we can say, look at Jesus and point people to Him and give Him the glory. One last scripture. In fact, would you just turn there with me, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter, toward the end of your Bible, 2 Peter chapter number 3. Seek and you will find. Would you say that with me? Seek and you will find. Seek God, seek good, seek growth. Would you say that with me? Seek God, seek good, seek growth. 2 Peter chapter 3, the last two verses of his letter, he writes these words. You therefore, beloved, loved of God, loved ones, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. How do we prevent being led away? Verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Would you read that verse with me? You ready? But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Thank God we can grow in grace. We can grow in love as we get to know the Lord better. That's really what it comes back down to. Before I close in prayer, I was reading a testimony just recently in one of the devotions and that I read, And this, I believe it's a lady from India, the country of India. And she said, my son, who was 19 and a first-year medical student, died suddenly in a swimming accident. We were devastated. In our pain, we questioned God. That's understandable, isn't it? We are human. Why did this happen when his future seemed so bright? Many friends visited us, comfort us, and pray with us, thank God. One of my husband's friends wrote a letter in which he said, you must be wondering where God was at that time. He was right there weeping with you. These words comforted me, and I was reminded of the time Jesus grieved and wept at the tomb of Lazarus, when the Bible says Jesus wept. As time went by, I decided to enroll in seminary to study the scriptures and learn more about the God who weeps with us. I was ordained and worked as a pastor for a few years. I was able to empathize with families who were going through an experience of loss and grief. Now, 40 years later, after the loss of my son, God is still strengthening me. I have known God's grace and comfort through love, encouragement of my husband, my children, and my church family. And I know that a day will come when I will join my son in God's heavenly presence forever. We wouldn't say that was a good thing that happened to her son, but do you see how she, even in with her pain and hurt and tears, they approached it the right way. And they were willing to allow it to draw them closer to God instead of blaming God and run from him and get bitter against God. And as a result, because they sought God and good, they grew. And what a testimony now, over 4 decades later. God is faithful. Seek and you will find. Let me ask you this morning, how, just between you and God now, how is God working in you right now? What fruit of Christ-likeness is God wanting you to grow in? And I would just ask you these questions. Will you seek God with all your heart? Will you seek him? Will you seek him for grace? Will you seek him for help? Will you seek him for direction, for encouragement, strength to do his will? And then I want to ask you, would you ask the Lord to open your eyes of faith? We sing a chorus sometimes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you high and lifted up. And so to say, Lord, open my understanding, open the eyes of my heart that I would not just take your blessings and goodness for granted. I want to see your goodness and I want to give you glory. And then finally, I would just ask, will you trust God and cooperate with him as he works the desire and power of his will into your life? And I believe if you will, I know God will meet every one of us at our point of need, right where we are in our walk with him. We'll get to know him better. We will experience his grace. We will see his goodness. The psalmist said, I would have perished if I didn't believe that I would have seen the goodness of God in the land of the living. It's not just for the sweet by and by. Thank God for that. But we want to see some goodness right now too, right? Thank God. Seek and you will find. And may we do it to the glory of God. Can we stand together as we look to the Lord in prayer? And just in the quietness of this moment, again, I want to ask you, would you just search your heart? Say, Lord, where do I need to grow in Christ's likeness? Help me, Jesus, to trust you. Help me, Lord, to not just focus on the bad. Help me to look for the good. Help me, Jesus. Help me to trust you and your will in my life, Lord. And I want to pray for you in just a moment and just allow the Lord to search your heart. If there is an area, even right now, that the Holy Spirit is just putting his finger, so to speak, on your heart, and he's saying, I love you, there's an area I want you to grow. There's an area I want you to grow like Christ right here. If there is an area and you're saying, I believe God is working this in me right now, and I really do want to seek him, and I want his will in my life, I want to trust him and cooperate with him. If there's anyone here today, would you mind letting me know? I want to agree with you in prayer. Would you slip your hand up right there where you are? If you hold it up just a moment, Thank God for you. Thank God. Thank God. Yes, all over the sanctuary. Thank you so much for your honesty. You can go ahead and put your hands down. Father, I'd like to just lift up my brothers and sisters before you right now, and I stand in need too, Lord, to say, help me. I haven't arrived. I want to grow in Christ's likeness, Lord, and I want to see the good. I want to see your goodness in my life, and I want to see your goodness in the lives of others. Lord, I want to seek you, and I want to grow more like you. Help me to trust you. Help me to complain less and praise more and thank more and trust that you are working your will in me and through me. And ultimately, may you do it for your glory and honor as a testimony to others around you who need you as well. In Jesus' name.